to the Live Generously podcast. I'm your host, Holly Mumford. In today's edition, Amy Sherman and I will be discussing creative financial generosity, and we will be joined by Aaron Klopfenstein, a certified financial planner and managing director at Ronald Blue & Company in Indianapolis. Amy, thus far in our podcast series, we've been emphasising whole life generosity. Today we're going to delve into financial generosity in particular. Why is this important?
I think it's important because some Christians just haven't been given a lot of teaching and training in this area. They may have heard about tithing, but that might be about it. And I think that's a big problem considering how often Jesus and the scriptures speak on money matters. We need to be more rigorous and offer more creative thinking, come up with new practices, in order to grow into the kinds of radically generous people that God desires us to be.
What would you say are the key hallmarks of a more creative approach to financial giving?
Well, I think the main one involves having what we might call a 360-degree view of our monetary power. So, for example, we need to recognize not only the income that we're making, but also our overall wealth, as expressed in things that, you know, believers might hold, like real estate or business assets or cars. Because we want to give out of our wealth and not just of out of our income. We can also recognize the power that we hold as consumers and think about financial stewardship as consumers. After all, our consumer choices, you know, the decisions that we make about where to spend our money really do make a difference. Throughout history, Christians have boycotted certain companies that they've deemed unjust or products that they've viewed as unsafe. And consumers have the power to act in ways that can signal to the market to increase production of certain kinds of products and goods. So, for example, if people buy more hybrid cars, then the automobile industry, you know, is going to be motivated to produce more of them. If people buy more local organic produce, or if they eat at farm-to-table restaurants, then the more investment there's going to be by those businesses in those kinds of products and services.
Yeah. It seems another important dimension of our monetary power would be our investment decisions.
Right.
For example, Christians can do research to learn which companies are highly rated for taking care of their employees, mm-hmm. providing a safe working environment, for example. We can also take time to learn which firms get good ratings for their energy conservation or for their commitment to the communities in which they are located.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take intentional steps to avoid supporting companies that are involved in activities that do not align with God's purposes of shalom, like those supporting pornography or addictive behaviors.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really about intentionality. Personally, I'm a fan of the work of a group called the Christian Investment Forum because they've just done a lot of the legwork for us. They've done a lot of great research, and they have information for Christians who want to, you know, look at investment choices and line those up with their values.
We've got a link to the Christian Investment Forum on the website, so I encourage our listeners to check out that great resource. And now we have the pleasure of learning more about creative financial stewardship from Aaron Klopfenstein. Amy interviewed Aaron just before Christmas. During their conversation, he shares some inspiring stories about generosity, as well as a little bit about his company's unique approach to managing investments called Principled Reasoning.
Well, I'm just delighted to have Aaron Klopfenstein from Ronald Blue & Company in Indianapolis with me. For those of you not familiar with Ronald Blue & Company, it's a national wealth management firm that provides comprehensive financial strategies that are based on biblical principles designed to help enrich their clients' lives. What they really are excited about doing is helping families plan their finances in such a way that they can really practice biblical stewardship and live more generous lives. And Aaron, we're just so delighted to have you on the podcast today and looking forward for you sharing your insights with us about different ways to be creative in financial stewardship. So welcome very much.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Let's kick the ball off by
having you talk a little bit about what are some of the financial assets that Christians possess that go beyond just their annual income, that maybe they don't automatically think of as assets that could be shared generously?
Sure. Yeah, as Christians, when we hear the word generosity, we often think about income giving, don't we?
Yeah.
But, you know, we think about, are we tithing? How much of our income should we give away? And that is an important aspect of generosity, but it's really only one piece. So we need to think as stewards more holistically.
Mm-hmm.
So you use the word stewardship, and I think to understand stewardship, we have to first grasp our role in that process, because as Christians, we believe God owns it all.
Right.
And everything belongs to Him. He's the owner. And our role is to be a manager of what He owns. Like 1 Corinthians says, what do you have that you've not received?
Exactly.
So our first responsibility as stewards is to take an inventory of what God's given to us to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, that means looking at our annual incomes, but it also means looking at our overall wealth. And that could mean our entire balance sheet. So our real estate, our businesses, our investments, our homes, that type of thing.
Mm.
And then if we make good decisions with that, like through good financial planning, that can open up opportunities for us to plan to invest our other resources, like time and our talent, our influence, that type of thing. So the more holistic we think, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know you've worked with a lot of folks over the years, and without sharing any particular person's name, I'd love to hear a story or two from you about just particularly creative ways that you've seen some of your clients give to God's kingdom. Maybe again, kind of beyond just their annual income.
Sure. Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, it takes time and a process for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of one client that we started serving about 10 years ago. And at that time, he was retired, and he was wrestling with some really practical questions about how to use his wealth, but he was also wrestling with some deeper questions about stewardship.
Hmm.
In particular, you know, what did Jesus mean when he said, to whom has been given much, much is required?
Hmm.
So, like we just talked about, he began sort of taking inventory of the different assets that God had given to him over his career. And he really wrestled with the question, why has God given me these resources? Why did He entrust these to me? And over time, he came to the conclusion that God was really opening the door for him to be a cheerful giver.
Hmm.
And he'd been faithful for many years managing and growing those things, but he felt that now it was the time to give accelerate that. So together we sat down and we began working through these issues. And again, it took time. It took a couple years to even process this.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, it was a little complicated because the majority of his wealth was in real estate. And so it's not liquid, not ready to give away charity quite yet. So rather than selling his real estate and converting it to cash, which would trigger some taxes, he ended up gifting some real estate to his giving fund at NCF.
Oh, okay.
And eventually somebody purchased that property, and all the proceeds were put into his giving fund for him to give away. So, you know, looking back, several things happened there. One is that this person, he found a creative way to give charitably, again, not just from his income,
mm-hmm.
but from across balance sheet. And then number two, he saved a ton of money in taxes.
Right.
Instead of that money going to the government, you know, he was excited because those dollars went to kingdom purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And then last, you know, in the years that followed, he got to experience the incredible joy of giving that money away to Christian ministries. And to make it even sweeter, he chose to do a lot of that gifting anonymously. And he chose to incorporate his adult children in the process of giving the money away, too. So, ultimately, a ton of money went to kingdom purposes, but it also used some of his influence and his relationships to create a legacy of giving for his family.
Oh, that's just a great story. That's a great one. Well, you were telling me earlier about another person whose creative giving was really kind of sparked by the Lord's word to us in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Do you want to tell that story to our listeners?
Sure. This was a client who owns and operates a successful business, and as he was talking through the principles of biblical stewardship, we focused in on that scripture in 1 Timothy 6:17-18,
mm-hmm.
where the Apostle Paul writes, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on riches, which are uncertain, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." And it says, "Instruct them to be good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share."
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this client, he wanted to give charitably, but he struggled with vision. And we all know that there's, almost endless charities to give money to,
right,
but God
right.
calls us to be cheerful givers. So
right.
he started asking himself, how can I give in a way that I would be genuinely cheerful, and how could I make a meaningful kingdom investment? So after working through those questions together, he ended up deciding a couple things. One was to give a pretty significant amount to his giving fund as a way of sort of pre-committing that money to kingdom work,
mm-hmm.
even though he didn't know where it was going.
Right, right.
Because remember, at the end of that scripture, it says being ready to share. So with the money now in his giving fund, he was ready to share.
Yeah.
But he still needed to know where to distribute it to. And he took some time to really pray for God to give him a vision for where to give. And it did take a while, but eventually he decided to invest that money in the area of Bible translation.
Okay.
So this guy actually underwrote the translation of a Bible into a language that didn't have it.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's really cool.
Then he had the opportunity to take his wife and his two kids overseas to meet that people group who would eventually receive the translation. And
wow.
that was just a life-changing experience for him and renewed his excitement for giving.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can see. And for his family, too. Just you see the huge impact of that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Must be fun for you to get to work with folks that come up with these, creative things to do. That's really fun.
It is. I will say this, Amy, that those are two examples of some pretty big givers.
Uh-huh.
But the size of the gifts isn't the point. The point, I think, and
true.
The common denominator for both of them is that they took an inventory of what God had entrusted to them uniquely, and then they took steps of faith to be generous based on how God led them. And I think you can kind of apply that to any level of wealth and to any level of particular giving.
Yeah, that's such an important point. I'm glad you underscored that for us. Well, Aaron, before I let you go, one of the things that I, as a person kind of interested in economics and economic development, found particularly intriguing and interesting about the Indianapolis branch there of Ronald Blue and Company is the fact that you guys there have worked real hard on an investment philosophy called principled reasoning. And from looking at your website, it's clear to me that what that seems to be about is kind of combining wisdom from biblical principles and knowledge from kind of critical reasoning and investment research, putting those things together to help your company have a wise and fruitful investment strategy. Why has your company worked so hard to kind of to really do that really hard thinking, good thinking, to come up with a kind of a guiding philosophy? And maybe you could mention just a couple of the key hallmarks. We'll have a link on our website for folks to learn more about this principled reasoning thing, so we don't have to take a ton of time. But why did the company invest in this, and what are some of the key principles or key hallmarks of this principled reasoning approach?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways to invest, and a lot of people do good work in that area. For us, we felt like we needed a guiding philosophy, so I like the way you put that. For a lot of years, our company relied on biblical principles to advise clients on their financial planning matters. We were very comfortable with that, but as it relates to investments, you know, we tried to rely historically on investing principles too, like being diversified and so forth,
sure,
and risk. But I think, as we all know, in more recent years, we've seen the whole investment landscape, certainly the economic landscape, become just more complex.
Right.
In our view, both the risks and the opportunities also have become more complex. So. The why is that we felt a burden of responsibility to help people navigate through these difficult issues. And so we set forth to put together a more forward-looking type of investment decision-making process. And the goal was to anchor that process to a biblical worldview of economics and investments, and then try to make it practical enough to implement it with clients, again, so that they can incorporate that into their personal financial planning and hopefully ultimately have peace of mind, because there's a lot we can't control on investments, but ultimately we need to have peace of mind as stewards. So in essence, as a company, we wanted to lean into biblical principles on the investment side to better match up the principles that we've relied upon for a lot of years on the financial planning side.
Yeah.
So good and bad investment decisions are only known looking backward.
Right.
So looking forward, we only have wise and unwise decisions to make.
Right.
And so just some of the tenets was that we put together, sort of codified, the principles that we think ultimately contribute to investment results. And that would mean digging deep into what principles we think drive economic growth, what drives things like inflation, like risk, and then how to value different investments, stocks, bonds, real estate, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you codify some of those principles, and we ended up coming up with six grounding core principles that we used, then we use those, in essence, to create a context for decision-making. And eventually, what we want is to lean into areas of the world that we believe are more conducive to prosperity and human flourishing. And at a high level, that means places in the world that are more adhering to those core foundational principles that we think ultimately drive results. And similarly, risk is found where there are places in the world that are going away from many of those foundational principles. So it doesn't answer what stock to buy per se, but it does give
you a macro
view to know where you want to begin to make investment decisions.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that a number of our listeners will enjoy learning more about that. Well, Aaron, thank you for your time today and for the labor that you do and that your colleagues do there at Ronald Blue and Company. We're so grateful for the way that you and your company are just really empowering and educating and equipping believers to unleash their generosity in creative ways, and really thankful for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Great to be with you. It's my pleasure.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Live Generously podcast. Please do check out the resources we've got listed on the website, and be sure to tune in again